What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another episode of What the Fuck. I am in charge again. Jillian's reign of terror is now ended.
Whatever. I'm coming back next week with my nerd rage. Major nerd rage, you guys. It's gonna be so bad.
Jillian gets next week. I promise her.
If you've been on the Geek Juice forums or if you've been on my Facebook or Twitter, you probably know what it's about. I don't want to go into it now because I'll just seep into it. It's about the whole stereotype of quote-unquote fake girl gamer nerds or just fake girl nerds. Also, people being overly PC in accordance to sexism in games, as well as just like a whole bunch of stuff that just basically in our culture that all ties in with females in geek culture, so to speak, in general.
We will be dealing with that next week. You mentioned the Geek Juice forums. Do you want to explain to people what those are, as well as our What the Fuck Facebook page?
Why, thank you, Josh. I will. And if you order now, we also throw in a set of steak knives.
You don't get any steak knives.
For those of you that don't know, we have not a new home, but an additional home, a place of resting, if you will, on geekjuicemedia.com. You can catch up on episodes of What the Fuck, which we're a little behind because things have been crazy, but we're getting them up there. So in addition to Jackalope Radio, if you haven't gone there, you should. There's a whole bunch of stuff. It's kind of a smaller community site, video games, movies, direct-to-video. Josh has got some articles or some crap that he does on there. Mm-hmm. And you can also listen to episodes of What the Fuck and Radiodrome, Lost and Static, yada yada. But you can catch the episodes at geekjuicemedia.com. Check out the other content there. Some really talented people doing lots of fun stuff. There are also forums. So for those of you who have been saying you wanted to conversate with other listeners and ourselves, if you go to the Geek Juice forums on geekjuicemedia.com, there is under podcasts a What the Fuck thread. And you can create subject matter. And then, you know how forums work. We also have a Facebook page, and I know we have more listeners than likes on there. So if you guys want to go on your Facebook, I feel like I'm selling a car. If you guys want to go on your Facebook, it's facebook.com/talkwhat. Like it. We keep you guys up to date. Again, we're just a little behind these days, holidays, all that good stuff. And, you know, we're still getting everything updated. So, you know, if you can't catch it on Jackalope or you can't download it on iTunes for some reason and you're out and about, go ahead and check out Geek Juice Media.
For this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We're just going to go into all the politics this week so Jillian can have her girl crap next week. Because that'll be a mostly Jillian show, and I'll just be sitting there going, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
You'll be like, right on, or whoa, wait, no. And I'll be like, no, you wait.
If I say you go, girl, you get to kill me.
Yes, I will. I will be all hawked up on Mountain Dew, more so than now. We were talking about it pre-show, like before we started recording, so that's why I'm all amped. Otherwise, I'm just, eh.
So for the dumbest thing... I'm actually not sure which one of these I should actually choose for dumbest thing, because they all kind of...
All of them. Just wing them up into one. Let's get it over with.
Well, you've got all the secession garbage. You've got all this blind Obama hatred.
The secession thing, you're going to go off on here. This will be Josh Rage show, and next week will be the Jillian Rage. So for dumbest thing, let's just go ahead and do those, you know, people killing themselves and others over Obama being elected.
Yeah.
That's pretty dumb.
Okay, so the guy you liked didn't win. Or let me rephrase that. The guy you didn't like, who was not the person that you liked even less, didn't win. There have been homicides. A woman ran her husband down because he refused to vote for Romney. Another man committed suicide and in his note said, "Fuck Obama." And he went on to explain why he would rather be dead than live in Obama's America. Now, Jillian, part of this is obviously due to racism. They're just people that don't like black people. I'm not agreeing with it, but fair enough. You don't like it, you don't like them. On the other hand, some of this is due to the lies the right has put out there that places like Fox News continue to perpetuate these just blatant lies. They have made Obama, who... as we've discussed before, Jillian, I'm not a supporter of, into such an almost James Bond-like supervillain to people that don't like him, that you get these people that would rather be dead than live under what they consider a draconian establishment. This just escapes my mind, Jillian. I don't get this.
You would think you would do some research just to make sure that what you're scared of is actually founded. That's kind of like, there's been a story of a zombie caught, and it may have spread to a couple people, and you kill yourself before the zombie apocalypse. It's like, you know, killing yourself of fear of the unknown. It's like, maybe you should wait and see. And I'm not condoning suicide, but I'm just saying, maybe in the thought process, which obviously isn't that clear anyways, maybe just kind of see how things are going to go. But I don't know, unless it was kind of like a kamikaze stunt type thing, like kind of, you know, okay, well, kill yourself and then blame Obama for it, and then that'll make shit happen. So I don't know if it was like actual mental instability or maybe a taking one for the team. Who the hell knows, the way like everything's been going. But
now,
you know,
see,
that's just
the way I look at it. There's, because you pointed out something very intelligent there, researching it. If you're going to go so far as to commit suicide, you might want to, you know, pretend to have all the facts on your side, at least. It's not like War of the Worlds broadcast in 1939. You couldn't research whether Martians were actually landing. People committed suicide because they would rather die than be obliterated by the Martian death rays.
As will millions when the zombie apocalypse happens.
You said when, not if. That says something right there.
When. Don't have my survival kit duffel bag yet. And, oh, RIP Twinkies. That, tie that in, man. How are we going to have a zombie apocalypse without Twinkies? Ah, now I'm sad. Continue.
Yes. Actually, the death of Twinkies should have been our dumbest thing, now that I think about it.
Well, we'll have, like, an at the end with, like, a Twinkie remembrance with Sarah McLachlan, I will remember you, and just pictures of Hostess.
Well, you're not going to believe what my wife told me when I got up today. She went on eBay just for the hell of it and looked up Twinkies.
Oh, yeah.
People are selling these things for astoundingly stupidly high numbers.
Here's the thing, guys. If you're buying, if you've got a supplier, all right, that you're going through, be aware, yes, Twinkies aren't healthy and have some shelf life, but they do have an expiration date. There is stuff in there that you shouldn't eat after too long. Secondly, I have sources, because I've joked about this, of having like meetups at the Canadian border and trading Hostess snacks for like Hawaiian Punch and Capri Sun, because I guess they don't have those in Canada. There are some outsourced companies, so it may not say Hostess. And I mean, I didn't expect that we would be talking about this, because just, you know, all of this crazy political stuff. Which
we're going to be
go back into
the political stuff in a minute.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, I don't have this research further, but there is word that there is some outsourcing of recipes. So you may still have Twinkies. It may not be called Hostess, maybe under, you know, a different name. But look at all of the generics. So I just, you know what, I would laugh so hard, and this would just be brilliant if it was one of those, hey, we're going under, nobody's making them anymore, it's like a Willy Wonka thing, and then like 3 months later they bring it back and they're like, fooled you.
Or you could go the new Coke route.
Factory.
You could go the new Coke route and have new Twinkies that taste slightly different, and then a year later bring back classic Twinkies.
You know what though? They don't even need to, because the way this is going and how people have bought out stores, it's crazy. If you went to a grocery store, you know, I mean, if you go now, they're pretty much sold out everywhere. It's crazy. Here's the thing. These people that are stockpiling, you know, Hostess either to save forever so they can always have Twinkies, you're not going to be able to eat them forever. A lot of people think that, you know, packaged junk food and cellophane doesn't expire. It really does. And it's not.
This
it's
is
not
the Simpsons where it will ferment into alcohol.
Yeah, you know, and so I don't know. I think it would be a brilliant ploy, and I would laugh so hard if it was just one of those, well, we thought we were going to declare bankruptcy, but we didn't. And I mean, truth be told, back in Springfield when we didn't have Taco Bell anymore because all of the Taco Bells closed for one reason or another, the closest place was about 45 minutes away. My friends and I, when we went to our community college, would drive to Taylorville that was 45 minutes away, come back and sell tacos at $3 a piece. Because it's the only place you could get Taco Bell. And being college students, you'll eat anything. So we made quite a profit off that. So it is a world of supply and demand. And anybody that is going
quite
to school out there.
Quite a little pegging entrepreneur you were, huh?
I was, man. Oh, no. And I was just going to say this. It made a great paper for a supply and demand topic in one of my classes. So, yeah, anybody that's in college, go ahead and, you know, look up the stuff on eBay. Like, kind of research it. It would actually make easy, good, interesting paper and very topical, depending on how your teacher is. Some teachers are like, rah, 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 rah. But yes, that's not even dumbest thing. It's more so saddest thing. Like, I'm not a huge Twinkie Hostess eater. I'll admit I bought like a little, the mini donuts because, you know, one for the road from a homie.
See, here's my thing. And I'm being half satirical and half serious with what I'm about to say, Jillian. I am really surprised that Fox News has not somehow tried to blame the death of Twinkies on Obama and his re-election.
I am sure it's out there somewhere.
I'm sure some right-wing blogger has done it already.
No, I did. I saw it on Facebook, and I want to say it was Alex Jowski. I can't remember, and I don't know if he said it.
You can't trust anything that fucker says.
I don't know if it was tongue-in-cheek. It was something like Romney would have let us keep our Twinkies. Yeah, but we would have lost Big Bird, so you win some, you lose.
But I'm just saying, you know, to tie this back into politics, which we'll talk more about in the third segment, I'll deal with the secessionists in the third segment. Just this hatred, this vitriolic hatred of Obama is to such ridiculous levels. These people hate Obama, and I really don't think it's all racism. I really don't. I think a lot of these people, if Joe Biden were the president and had the exact same policies and Fox News was saying the same lies about Joe Biden, I think people would hate Joe Biden just as much. And I really don't understand why people would prefer being dead than living with – and it's not like what Obama is trying to push through are these terrible America-changing events, like all of a sudden he would ban pornography or shut –
You know what, though? No, you can't judge how things affect people personally. I mean, there are people – that would rather be dead than live in a world where gays can get married, or that, you know, all of these extremist support. I mean, you look at the simplest of issues that just, it shouldn't even be an issue, but it is because people feel strongly, you know, against basic human rights. I'm not even going to say gay rights. They're fucking human rights, you guys. Seriously. And so you have those extremists that are like, I don't want to live in this world anymore. And they're going to kill themselves over that. Whether it's politics, whether it's, you know, morals, whether it's something going on as a personal hell. I mean, you really can't judge.
The most divisive issue, the one that is pushing more people over the limit, I hate this term, but Obamacare. That how dare people that can't afford health insurance, how dare they get medical coverage? That's not America. That's Russia. This whole ideal of socialism, that he's bringing socialism. First of all, what he's doing is not socialism in the least. Second, taking true socialism, let's say it was true socialism. Do you know what the most prosperous countries in the world are? The socialist one! That is the lies that are being perpetuated by places like Fox News. Fox News will not get off the fact that Obama's bringing socialism to America. It's
right,
socialized medicine. No, it's not. That's what comes down to this whole facts thing that you and I have tried to hammer into our listeners' heads.
I'm just saying, though, to clarify, because it's clear in your mind.
You need to stay informed. If you're going to go to the extreme of suicide, at least do it with facts in your head, not Fox News said this or not. I read this in town.
He may have, though. You don't know. It's not released. It's not released. It's not because
I'm going to go on a limb and say he probably didn't research anything.
Okay, that's fine, but you can't do that. You can't say, you know, make sure you know what's going on before you commit. Like, no, you're going down a bad road here. Seriously.
People need facts. Now, with the internet and the fact that at the time we're recording this, it's still not censored yet, no matter what MSNBC says, no matter what Fox News says, no matter what CNN or NBC or your local paper says, there is always a way to find out whether what they are saying is accurate, whether it's the truth, whether they have left things out, or whether it is just a bald-faced lie. The problem is people are lazy. We will talk about the secessionists after a heart attack.
Hey guys, Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here, and normally you'd hear me ranting and raving about some political thing that's got a bug up my ass or another, but today I want to talk to you guys about the Safe Cig. When I was growing up as a kid, my father smoked 3 packs a day, my mother smoked 2 packs a day, And when we went on a family camping trip, he rolled up the windows for the air conditioner. So we rolled down the highway in a goldfish bowl full of smoke. It was nuts. Well, tell you what, folks, I wish my father had this when I was a kid. SafeSig is a new technology that offers a real alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. That's right, it's an alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. No tar, no ash, and has virtually no smell. So go on down to www.thesafesig.com. No secondhand environmental health or fire risk. So if you've got a hubby or a wife who likes to smoke in bed at night while she's reading her favorite James Patterson novel, well, hey, you don't have to worry now if she's smoking the SafeSig, because it's not on fire. So, folks, I've got a really good deal for you. If you want to try out the SafeSig, you can. You're going to get 20% off if you use the code HORROR. That's right. Use the code HORROR, and you're going to get 20% off your order of the SafeSig. And that's thesafesig.com. So go ahead and check it out today. Get your 20% off. Don't forget to use your code HORROR.
These have been some pretty crazy heart attacks the last couple of weeks, huh, Josh?
They've been interesting, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I believe it. Even for the folks at home who are tuning in, me and Josh have been trying to record this episode of Heart Attack, but I am so goddamn angry that my anger's blowing up the phone lines. It's blowing up Josh's computer. So if you guys can hear stuff in the background, like the TV or something going on, that's Josh's wife, because now he's practically down in his living room on his backup computer recording this, because it's been a real nightmare trying to get this one out. I think it's the subject matter, Josh.
This has been the most difficult one we've recorded in a long time. Just the computer giving me the finger and the dogs wanting to fight and just everything.
It's been a nightmare. Have you gotten any interesting feedback since we released the last two episodes?
Oh, you mean like my website being hacked off the internet?
Josh's website has been hacked right off the web. Why do you guys think we have these issues? Why do you guys think that Josh got hacked off the web? It's because Josh and I are making a difference. You know, we do this show every week, doing this because we really like it and because we care about our country and we care about what's going on in the world. That and to fucking bitch and moan a little bit, huh, Josh?
I have to admit I'm a big mouth and I like having a forum.
What do you think about some of these things I've been revealing on the show?
It's a little sleazy, not on your end. It's a little sleazy that these people keep trying to pull shit. You'd think they would have learned by now.
You know, but that's the thing about losers, man. They're losers. And when I watched Batman, the one with the Joker, the last one with the Joker, and the Joker's talking about, you know, and he's like, why are you choosing me? And it's like, oh, but you're so much fun to play with, Bats. You know, people, if you're a strong guy, there are some people that will come to you looking for you to crush them. There are people that will do things to you looking for you to be who you are. They want to get bit. They want to be beat up. They want to get attacked. That's why they're provoking you, you know, and that's part of the game.
I just think some people aren't smart enough to realize who they're fucking with.
Yeah, and that's a sad thing. I mean, the person that's the subject of tonight's heart attack, you know, is a person who knows me, who's known me a long time, was one of my best friends. This guy was a guy that, you know, I fucking love this guy. He was one of my best friends, and I did business with this gentleman, co-published a ton of stuff together. We did lots of cool stuff together, and we were great friends, and you know, I'm not shy about it. You know, I fucking love that guy. He was my best friend and partner in crime in the doing these comics and doing these outrageous comics, and we pushed each other to be better. We pushed each other to go further, and that was the great thing about our relationship. This person has slandered me, has committed fraud, has conned me. It's actually a really kind of a sad story. I'm going to talk about something that I have never spoken about publicly. I don't even want to draw attention to this person, but they have stolen so much from me, and I just recently caught them trying to steal and sell my copywritten and trademark characters. They're trying to sell them behind my back. I had this friend, and he published comic books, and he was somebody I looked up to when I first got into the industry. He was a model for me, and I couldn't believe that this person became my friend. We went through our journeys, and he was a stand-up guy for me through the 90s, and things started to change in his life. You know, people, they say, you know, people don't change. People don't change. Well, that's fucking bullshit, man. Fruit goes rotten. People change. People can reform. People can be better or worse. And during my time hanging out with this guy, he had a major split from his partner at Cry for Dawn, Joe Linsner, and they had a major falling out. And because at that time I was a bit of a pit bull from Chicago, you know, my attitude was, if you're the enemy of my friend, then you're my enemy. And so poor Joe Linsner really got a lot of crap from me throughout the 90s that he didn't deserve. So if you're out there, Mr. Linsner, and you're listening, I terrified you quite a bit, and I shouldn't have, because the guy I was doing it for was a fucking douchebag, and I didn't know the whole story. Because boy, oh boy, he fucking suckered me in. I mean, this is a person who went blind because of their own hand. This is a guy who lost his eyesight due to his diabetes. He changed. His handicap and his diabetes, you know, diabetes is a debilitating disease of both the body and the mind. And I saw its effects on my father and what it did to him, my grandmother. And actually, it's kind of terrifying what it did to this person. He lost his eyesight because he had a real kamikaze attitude about his diabetes when we were hanging out. And he's just like, I'm going to die young, so whatever. And he would never test for his insulin, and he would just shoot up when he felt like it. So by the time he started to try to get his life together on that issue, it was too late, man. He went through a lot of surgeries. You know, when everybody else was hiding during 9/11, 3-4 days after 9/11, I was on an airplane to fly out to Florida so that this friend of mine, my quote best friend, could literally see me one more time. It was pretty crazy, and I felt horrible for him. I felt so bad for that kind of thing, you know, to lose your eyesight. It bothered me, you know, and it really bothered me. And this person changed. I mean, he really fucking changed. He got nasty, nasty, crazy, nutty, nasty, angry, so fucking angry. And, well, you know, he conned me into making the next chapter, Flowers in the Razor Wire. What I'm talking about right now here, guys, is the story behind why you can't see the Flowers in the Razor Wire feature-length film. This is a film that was supposed to be shot as Flowers in the Razor Wire was a comic book that I published through the 90s through Boneyard Press. Around 2004, we shot a pilot for Japanese TV, Flowers in the Razor Wire, and it was Flowers in the Razor Wire Chance Meeting. And we shot this thing, had a lot of fun. It was crazy, and, you know, it didn't get picked up by Japanese TV, but we wanted to continue the series. We enjoyed it. I enjoyed making it. I loved my comic book. And so I am working on making this into a TV series, and have been for quite some time. Part of why I'm not naming this person on the air, guys, is I really don't want to publicize him. I don't want to give him a tool to be able to get more publicity or to get more attention, because I've tried to ignore this person for a long time. For 3 years, I've just been silent about this person and had to ignore this person as they stalked me, they cyber-stalked me, they stalked my business associates, stole my film and tried to sell it behind my back. And not necessarily mine, but our film. This was our film. And tried to sell it behind my back. You know, this is the Flowers in the Razor Wire feature film based on the comic book, Flowers in the Razor Wire, with my trademark and copywritten characters. I worked really hard on this film, and it was supposed to be a short, just the next chapter in the series, just a short. And I'm thinking, no problem, I'll help out my buddy. And boy, oh boy, I had a huge fight with my wife right there with this person, this douchebag in my house. And it was awful. And then she only acquiesced to me spending our money and getting involved in this because it's supposed to be a short. As soon as the short was done, well, now it's a feature. See, I was on the hook. My money had been spent. I couldn't back out now. And now the guy's going, oh, no, dude, buddy, oh, pal, this is a feature film, not a short. We really need to make the feature of Flowers in the Razor Wire, you know, like Tales from the Crypt or the Twilight Zone feature film. And since I spent my money already and the guy was my best friend, I rolled with it and I took it on the chin like a man. Then my wife got cancer and the shit truly hit the fan. We had obligations to get this film done and to get this thing screened, and we couldn't make them because I was the editor on the film. My company, Crime Pays Inc., handled all the post-production on this mini DV film. There was a lot of work that needed to be done. A blind person directed it, and it was his first directing gig. There were difficulties with the film. There were things that I had to address and fix that they didn't see, you know, continuity errors, and that was my job. I was a post-production person at that point in time. your wife gets cancer, shit gets shut down, and he really didn't want to tell anybody about it. He really didn't want to acknowledge that how big of a contribution I was making into the film. I mean, I'm a cast partner in the film. I did all the location scouting in Los Angeles. It's based on my characters. The plot of the fucking film is a twist on A Taste of Cherry, but it didn't bother me that it was ripping off the story because I was helping out my buddy. I was helping out my buddy. When I scored the film with my friend Gary Finneran, when I filled the soundtrack with all my licensed band's musics that he didn't have to pay for, when I cut the film in L.A. without that asshole even in the same fucking state, I mean, I can't tell you how galling it is for a person who's not even in the same state with you to go to the press and tell them that they went over every inch of footage in the edit bay, that they are in the edit bay and they went over every bit, let alone the fact that he's fucking blind. How the fuck are you going to go over anything when you're fucking blind? You can listen to it, sure. You can listen, but that's not the fucking same. No, I cut this fucking film. I do the film look, and boy, oh boy, it's shot with different cameras. It's shot in different locations with different DPs. It's a fucking mess. So I got to color correct all this fucking shit. I paid for and supervised the 6.1 surround sound mix so that my best friend could go buy his house. Now, meanwhile, I'm doing this instead of paying for my wife's cancer bills. My wife is involved deeply with radiation treatments and chemo treatments and is stripped to the fucking bone. I'm dealing with this bullshit with Gerard Way, that fucking cunt. And I'm dealing with crap with some other areas of my life where, you know, when you're down, people take a piece of you. We had Lionsgate's publicity agency ready to handle our movie. They were going to handle this fucking movie pro bono for the blind guy. But he was too difficult to deal with. That's right. The blind diabetic asshole was too fucking difficult to deal with. And then he got pissy because I'm in Hollywood and they want to deal with me, not him. So he wrecks the whole fucking deal. We lose the publicity agency because he didn't want them dealing with me. He wanted them to deal with him. Never mind that I'm in Los Angeles and I'm part of Hollywood. It doesn't matter. He wants them to deal with him. So he wrecks the whole fucking thing. Now I've got the film finished, just about finished. I got a rough cut. We needed to tighten it up some more, but we got it screened at Ghost House Pictures. Ghost House Pictures is ready to buy this fucking thing. They're so ready to buy this thing even before our sound design is done. We're not even finished with the full fucking cut. What does this asshole do to me when I need money really bad to pay for my wife's fucking medical bills and cancer bills? No, he goes behind my back. He recuts the whole fucking film with an editor from community college and sends it back to Ghost House Pictures without telling me. Not only did I have Ghost House Pictures ready to go, I had a bunch of other distributors ready to go. I had a fucking bidding war ready to go. And he fucked it all up. Because when this cut came, well, I, at that point, had a post-production business, and I had a person called the screener. And it was their job to sit and screen movies and tell me, where are the mistakes that we need to fix? There's no ego involved. Just screen the movie. What are the mistakes? Let's fix them. This fucking guy writes out 5 pages of mistakes. There's 5 single-spaced lined, no skipping lines, pages of mistakes this asshole made. We lose them. We lose all those buyers. They're all gone. Long story short, I jump in. I kick ass. I get the sound done. I get everything done. Right when we're ready to go, right when I'm about ready to get buyers again, I get some fucking lawyer sending me a letter from Florida telling me I'm kicked off the film. Kicked off the film. Can you imagine that? You're kicked off the feature film of your comic book stuff based on your original stories, and the dude just twisted it around a little bit because he's an unoriginal prick? I get this letter from the lawyer. I call the lawyer back, and I'm like, you fucking have no idea what can of worms you just fucking opened up. And then my lawyer tells me, Hart, you need to shut up. Don't go on the web. Don't talk about this. Just keep your mouth shut. And I do. And this asshole stalks me. He cyber-stalks my editor at InCold Blog, Michelle Mad Dog McKee. Michelle McKee is a Munchausen survivor. This is a crime victim who's lost family members to violence and crime. And Dildo's writing Asshole the Month columns about her because she dares to actually have me write for InCold Blog. And what am I writing at InCold Blog? I'm writing all about my girlfriend's murder and the years it took me to keep this killer in jail. He is blisteringly stalking them and slandering me in these horrible, horrible editorials. What did I ever fucking do to this guy? I never did nothing to this guy except bust my balls and break my back to try to help him and get him a career as a fucking director that nobody could even believe a blind guy could do. So this happens, right? And he's all over the web, motherfucking me everywhere, and talking all this shit how he has this masterpiece that I ruined. Masterpiece that I... Are you fucking kidding me? I polished this turd, and I polished this turd, and I actually cut together a pretty decent film. The cut of the film's actually pretty good. I'm pretty proud of it. I'm pretty happy with it. But it's too bad no one's going to see it, because this guy's a fucking douche. And what he's done is he's gone and he's stripped out my score, and he's stripped out, like, the film look that I'd done, and he recuts this movie with another asshole who fucked me over, but I'm not going to get into that fucking story. That asshole behind my back is trying to sell the film. Now, I just thought he'd taken my characters out or cut my wraparound out, and he shot new stuff and just replaced everything I'd done and my characters, but no, he didn't. He didn't do this. He goes to fucking AFM, and he gets a deal. So I got to send out a cease and fucking desist notice. That was last year and the year before that. And then this year he fucking does it again. And you want to know why I was so goddamn angry at Brian Polito? Because Brian hooked him up with Brian's sales agent. Brian used his personal fucking sales agent, and Brian knows exactly about this deal between me and Monks. He also knows there's copyright problems with the film, trademark problems with the film, and that any distributor involved with the film will have me come in looking for my money that I'm owed on the film, because I'm owed a lot of money on this fucking film, not to mention my cash in this fucking film,
including
over Tomcat.
Including, I saw the trailer, there's a pretty big name executive producer listed on there, isn't there?
Kevin Smith, if you're an executive producer on this film, The Bunker, you better fucking call me, you cunt. I'm sorry, Kevin. I didn't mean to call you cunt. I'm actually very angry. You might be a really nice human being, and you might have been deceived. The people at Tomcat Films were deceived to the point where they called this movie Pray for Dawn. Now, I think a certain Joe Linsner out there might be pretty fucking pissed that his copywritten character's name is being used in the trailer and the title, and that his artwork and his character, Dawn is Joe Linsner's character, is being used to sell Joe Monks' movie. I think Linsner might want to know about that. This fucking dude is fucking everybody, and he's using his handicap as like a get-out-of-jail-free card. Well, you know what? Dude, you're a dick. You fucked me. You fucked all these people. You fucked Terry. You fucked everybody who acted in this film. This film should have came out 4 years ago, and you should have been making more movies. But no, you're a fucking loser who's blind by his own hand, married to a fucking cunt who you don't even love, who said it at your wedding, who fucking said, the only reason you married me is because you went blind. And hey, man, the fucking truth hurts. And you know what? I read about your dad dying, and I'm fucking happy about it. That's right, I'm fucking happy. Is that a mean thing to say, you piece of shit? You fucked my wife too, motherfucker. I should have been taking care of her, but no, I was taking care of my best friend, you fucker. You conned me, and the con is over. And this film can never come out, asshole. Never come out. It will never come out until you settle with me and you settle the money you fucking owe me. And then maybe I'll sign off on this film. Otherwise, there isn't a distributor in the fucking world that's going to touch this. And I know Linsner's going to want to talk to you, too, about the shit being in the trailer that shouldn't have been. So fucking enjoy your time in the darkness, motherfucker. It's going to get darker and darker and fucking darker. Because I'm on now, and I'm talking now, and the payback is here, bitch. So for Thanksgiving, all my listeners, be fucking thankful I'm not looking for you like these cunts.
They've robbed them, brutalized them, put their homes under siege.
All of you are going to die!
This is some sick revenge thing, man.
But these people are finally drawing the line.
They want to kill us.
Now, they're fighting back with a vengeance. Game of Survival.
All right, now, Jillian, we need to talk about all this secession garbage. There's all these states. I believe 48 of the 50 states have had some sort of petition sent to their governors about people that want to secede from the union due to the fact that Obama is president.
Now, which are the top runners that like are actually really trying to get it going versus a small group of people that was like, hey, Mr. Governor, we don't want to be here.
Take a guess. They're southern states.
I'm going to say Mississippi.
They're up
Alabama.
There.
Alabama.
Think physically bigger.
Physically bigger. Texas.
Yep. Texas is the number one. Texas, who, now, in a weird way, they've had this written into their state constitution since they were brought into the United States. They actually legally have the right to be able to secede if certain factors and events take place. Technically, they could. And on another note about Texas, Mexico has been wanting to re-annex Texas anyway since we took it from the Mexicans in the first place. So wouldn't it be funny if Texas seceded from the United States, became part of Mexico?
Oh, you have fun with that government, dear God.
Well, and then it would be really funny, since Texans are the ones that hate illegal immigration so much and border jumpers, wouldn't it be funny to have Texans that would rather be part of the United States smuggle themselves across the border using coyotes?
I want to make this movie. This is just, like, not a documentary. Like, just the idea of this is just, like, pure...
It's pure gold.
Wait, before we go into, like, technicalities and, like, all the details, here's a thought. All right, so you've got big ass state. Let's just go with Texas for now. In the example of Texas, if you're like, okay, yay, we, you know, secede and we're whatever we're gonna call each other now, they'll probably
United
still say
States
Texas.
Of Texas, yeah.
I guess. Okay, you're gonna lose a lot of funding of, like, what you got, and then you've got all the people that do live in Texas, because, yeah, it may be a majority or a good percentage, but not everybody that lives in Texas is gonna want to be a part of Mexico or a completely independent entity. So you're going to have this mass migration of people needing to leave because they want to be part of the United States. So they're going
to
have
to
leave.
They would be displaced. The new Texas government would forcibly have to relocate.
Exactly. That's what I mean. They have to, like, leave. They would have to move away. And then, you know, God forbid if you've got family, and then you got to mess with immigration, and then, oh, it's going to be messy. Like, I'm almost, and I feel bad because I have two close friends that live in Texas, and as far as I know, they like America and would like to, you know, they would be
They're
moving.
Americans.
Exactly. And so I'm just trying to think, and I'm like, okay. And I was like, oh, well, he can come back to Illinois, and then, like, you know, to Chicago and whatever. It just seems like, do you really understand the ramifications, you know, with messing with, despite, that's just a new idea. Like, because I was thinking about this before with the whole, okay, well, then you're going to have, like, your border control, and then you're going to have, like, I mean, are you going to no longer be U.S. citizens, but then you were born in America, so there's that whole thing. Then if you join Mexico, well, okay, well, then they're your government, and I'm pretty sure with how, you know, Texans have been, they're not really going to want to be a part of Mexico. But honestly, I don't think Texas would be able to survive as, you know, a soul. There's just so much mess that is going to happen. And I don't think these people realize. I'm sure maybe some key people know it, but the people jumping on the bandwagon, again, it's an example of not being informed. And I apologize because I knew we were going to talk about this today, but it was one of those, we had a lot of things that were either ors. But just the fact that you said that, I didn't even think about, you know, Mexico wanting them back. I wish I could have, like, a couple of research days, because there are so many devil's advocate crazy things that are just going through my head right now that have the facts for, that are just spewing golden situations.
Well, and Jillian, look at it like this, and I'm being, again, like I was in the first segment, half satirical and half serious. There are, as you pointed out, ramifications that they probably have not even begun to think of. For one, again, using the example of Texas, they would not be able to be a self-sustaining entity. They would have the oil fields, and they might be able to trade for some things, but that would require new trade agreements with the United States, where you'd have to set up embassies, you'd have to set up ambassadors, you'd have to set up tariffs. Then there's the fact that you no longer have the protection of the United States.
Yep.
Let's say an Arab sheikh decides he wants all the oil in Texas. The United States is no longer going to protect you. Do you really think the Texas Rangers are going to be able to stop an invasion by the Arabs to take your oil fields?
I think Texas is banking on the fact that if, like, an enemy of the United States, like, let's say Iran's like, oh, sweet, let's take Texas to be part of, you know, Iran, and then we are close to, you know, what have you. I think that Texas might be banking on the whole ally fact, to where it'd be like, okay, well, we're separate, but you're still going to take care of us if anybody, like, you know, with bad intentions tries to take over us, right? And in a way, they'll be right because, you know, the American government isn't going to let, like, let's say, you know, if Texas starts getting attacked by, you know, Al-Qaeda just for, like, territorial rights, like, what have you. There's so much, like, just crazy what-ifs here. You know, realistically, the United States would be like, no, leave Texas alone because that's in our best interest. So there's just so many crazy, like, I could make a giant wheel and be like, spin the situational wheel of just, like, crazy shit that I really think, I mean, this isn't, you know, Northern Territory, Southern Territory, let's, you know, keep our area. I mean, you are talking about a very intricate system to where if you want to be your own entity, you're going to be fucked. Like, basically, it's like, I want my cake and eat it too. It's like, okay, well, we want to be able to do whatever we want, but we still need all this stuff, and you guys are still going to do it. You know, it's like moving out of your parents' house, but still asking for, like, allowance and
going,
stuff.
And going over there to do your laundry.
Yeah, pretty much. And so, because, again, you know, you've got the whole, yeah, anybody living in Texas wouldn't be an American if this goes through. But the Constitution, if you're born in America, you're an American. Like, if I moved to Japan and I lived there, I would have to hire some, like, translation person because I don't know the language. But I would still be an American even if I took dual citizenship because I was born here. And so that's why you have, like, you know, the immigrants. And then there was that big, you know, debate because immigrants would sneak over the border and then they would have their baby here. And then their baby would be a U.S. citizen because
anchor
their baby.
Baby
was born. What?
Those are called anchor babies.
I thought you said anger baby. I was like, what?
No.
What are you talking about?
No. Those are called anchor babies.
Despite what it's called. You know, you've got that to where everybody in Texas would still technically be American citizens. So it's kind of a, you know, a big, like,
actually, they wouldn't, because secession gives up your citizenship. So if they would legally secede, they would no longer be American citizens. They would be former American citizens.
Right.
No longer afforded the rights
of
an American citizen.
Out, what I'm saying is, because then you've got Texas. So let's say you have a shit ton of people who are like, no, I'm still going to be American. So they move out, Texas secedes. Okay, you've got all of these Americans. Like, this is like evil movie plot here. So you've got all of these Americans that moved out before Texas seceded, that the government moved them out. Okay, well, we are the United States of Texas, and you're America. All right, we're separate now. Oh, hey, you Americans want to come to Texas and have jobs? Sure, go ahead. Like, that's what I'm talking about. And then you still have American citizens that moved back into this United States of Texas.
Well, and then you...
That's what they call it. I like that. United States.
Yeah,
of
United
Texas.
States. Singular.
State. United States of Texas.
What would they be united from? It doesn't matter. But
they're united within each other.
But
now
I am being joking here. But what I think Obama should do is let Texas secede, turn around, invade them, take all their oil, force them to be not an American state, but an American territory, the same as Guam or Puerto Rico. So those people would have to pay taxes to America, but not be afforded the rights of an American citizen. Come on, that's brilliant on a certain sick level, isn't it?
Okay, now I do need to say something. We are taking this very lightly, mostly because it's
so dumb.
It's asinine, but again, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, it's not going to happen, but it could. So, you know, I want to be clear that obviously we're not tackling the quote unquote real issues in this. I mean, it's a very, very far-fetched what if because there's so many of them. So this is more lighthearted. Now, if it gets one of those, like, okay, it's going to vote and they might actually, you know, then we'll talk about it more serious, but it's just the idea. And I mean, if you're in Texas and you're one of these people that want to secede, I'm sorry. I really, really hope you know what you're getting into. And maybe, okay, we were just taking Texas, for example. Let's say Alabama, Mississippi, all these, Louisiana. Let's say there's a group of five states all clustered together or not clustered together. What if, you know, one gets to secede and the others don't? Then you have, you know, patches and it just gets weird. So if you've got this group of four or five states, let's say together, first you've got the thing where Texas has that in their state constitution of being able to. The others don't. But let's say for sake of whatever, there's five of them that do. So then now you've got Texas arguing, like, I just want to make, like, this little cartoon of, like, kind of like what was it, Schoolhouse Rock, where like the bills and the states talk and stuff, and actually, have these states thinking, come up and talk to each other.
I was thinking more along the line of Wacko Warner doing the new states.
I don't know, but okay, so you've got Texas talking to Mississippi and Alabama, whatever. So then you've got like, okay, well, these are what we think, and then these are what we think. Like, it's going to be like five college students trying to order a pizza, and you can't agree on toppings because everybody wants, you know, their own thing. And if you think, oh, this is just such a mess, and at the same time, it's strangely intriguing. Like, I just have all of this.
It's like a what if just waiting to happen.
It is, and there's so many. It's kind of like, I don't know, like back in school when they would pose like one of those like rhetorical questions and be like, well, what, like in film class when they'd say, you know, when something would be open-ended and somebody would be like, well, what if this happened afterwards? You're like, oh, and what if this? Like, it's just like snowballing right now. Ever since you said the Mexico thing, I was like, that's what it was to me. It was like being in film class where something was completely open-ended. Somebody suggests a what if at the end, and then you kind of, you know, or if you will, like in a writer's room when somebody like pitches an idea, you'd be like, or, and it's all just, right, well, I don't know. I'm very amused right now. And this probably isn't a very good show. And I apologize because I just have all these musings in my head.
Well, let's go a little bit serious for a second again about this. Now,
okay,
this can be a very serious thing because secession is considered a treasonous offense.
Except Texas.
With the exception of Texas, because it's actually written into their state constitution. Secession in general is a treasonous offense that is punishable with no trial by death. So technically, all these people who have signed these petitions, which is in reality a relatively small number to the amount of people in each given state, but are now technically, because of their attempt to secede, or at least their desire to secede, if they would actually attempt it, Obama legally could go in, have them arrested and killed without trial, because they would be considered enemies of the United States.
Yeah, I'm not.
This is the same thing that the governments, you know, Clinton and whatnot and all them have used to take down militias that want to overthrow the United States. They are considered enemies of the state and are therefore not afforded the rights of a trial.
I mean, I'm not boned up on my treason laws, what have you. I really don't think Obama would do that, and that's more than I can say about
it.
Like,
I'm just saying legally he could.
Right. Here's the thing as well, though. If you're talking, you know, to play devil's advocate, on the other side of the fence, we're technically all here by treason. So these people who are doing this aren't looking at it as a treason. They're looking at it as, we need to do this to better ourselves.
That I think
not
is
that
the
I agree
part.
With them. Not Jim, that I agree with them. I'm that, just that saying I it's not is... treason, and it's not bad to those who are trying to free themselves from oppression.
And that's what I think is the sickest part, is that these people think of themselves as patriots.
Mm-hmm.
That sickens me. I love America so much, I want to overthrow it and leave. That's not patriotism. That's traitorous.
Here's the thing, because Donald Trump was kind of advocating, you know, this in so many words. What if he were to pull like all of his money together and all of these like rich people that want to overthrow, like what if they got like outside militia and be like, hey, we'll give you a piece of the pie, help us take our United States back and fight back? Like, this is really scary stuff.
And I said it before and I'll say it again,
like, seriously, if the shit that they are talking about, far-fetched as it is, but still not an impossibility, no, I, not because I don't like America, but it's just like, it's, I'm not going to live in a war zone, not an act of what they're talking about. Like, this is just fucking crazy. Like, it's one of those, like, can't we all just get along? Which is stupid, because we can't, but we should. And it's just,
The point is, Jillian, it is crazy. I'm saying this to, I highly doubt anyone who wants to secede is probably not a listener to this show. I get that. So all of you sicken me. All of you traitorous secessionists. You are trying to say, I, as in you, an individual, does not like being an American anymore. So rather than make a personal decision and say, go to Japan or go to Asia or some other.
France has great croissants.
Or go to France, yes.
A to France. Paris.
You decide that you are going to take all those around you with you. That is treasonous. Just the thought of, instead of saying, I personally want to not be part of this country, you think that's what you're saying when you sign these petitions. What you're saying is, I want my state and all my brethren. I want you on my side and I'm going to form my own country. What you're saying is not, I want to go somewhere else. It's, I want to make my own thing, which you can't do. I mean, it even happened in the, I believe it was the early 80s. Someone off the coast of Hawaii found some little island, Jillian, that was not actually claimed by Hawaii. And they tried to form their own country. This sounds like something out of a bad sitcom.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, and they tried to form their own country on this little, like, 10 square mile island. And they wanted to form, like, the country of Jillian of Latter-day Gamers. And
it's Mistress J.
Mistress J
Gamer.
Of Latter-day Gamers. Sorry.
I didn't go to mistress school to be called Jillian.
Okay, sorry. You went to mistress school to be called
Jillian. No, I didn't. So
you get my point. You can't just do that. You can't just, I'm forming my own thing. And
no, you can claim it as, like, your found property. Like, I claim this in the land of, you know,
yeah,
this is my offshore island that, you know, but it's still part of the United States.
America
you
would
property.
Find some kind of exigent circumstance to come and take it under eminent domain. You know they would. You know, it has some flower that doesn't exist anywhere else that's a requirement for making perfume.
Well,
for
then culture. They can name the flower after me and I'd be happy with that. And as long as I can still live on the island.
Mistress J the flower?
I'm gonna make Cloney Island, and it'll be with clones instead of dinosaurs.
On that note, where can we find Mistress J of Latter-day Gamers?
Well, you can find me in the forums of geekjuicemedia.com or on the Facebook. I did this so much already. Facebook, under my name, Jillian Sarowski. Twitter, the Mistress J. And I am here and there on Geek Juice Media and thecinemasnob.com.
And Jillian hates the fact that I tell you about Sanity is Razor Thin at geekjuicemedia.com.
I don't hate the fact that you say it. It's just, it's so much.
Okay, 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com, Sanity is Razor Thin at geekjuicemedia.com, Shadows of Pop Culture and Scene Magazine. RK, good night, bye. Do you remember?